The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like flowing lava.
Or
ocean current collapse.
Or
kangaroos.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like men's ideas of quirky.
Or bad TV writing.
Or Epcot.
Oh my gosh. Those are all fun, but not as fun as, you know what?
Our theme song.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax, ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Hello!
Hello! Fake energy!
Yeah! Can I tell you guys something funny?
Yes.
I don't know if it'll be funny. It was very funny to me. So in the car on the way here, I was listening to this new crime podcast. I don't know if it's good or not yet, so I'm not going to recommend
it. I knew you were going to say, can I tell you something funny? I was listening to something about murder.
It was about murder. And so since it's a crime podcast, there's a commercial about a new crime show. Well, I don't know if it's new because it's the podcast is kind of old, but it's the show on ABC called Trent.
I have seen a billboard, but I don't know how.
Will Trent. So they're Will Trent joins America's ranks of the greatest detectives. Like, that's the promo for it. And then they take a clip from the show of dialogue, and the clip is, it starts, sorry. Let me just start over again. Will Trent joins the ranks of America's greatest detectives. He's good police. And he's hot, too.
No.
That's the clip.
What? Really?
Yeah.
What network is this on?
ABC.
And he's hot, too.
Yeah. That was the clip. And then there was an earlier clip that was, he read this crime scene like a book.
No.
And
a really bad book.
The thing that's,
that this show is based on.
I couldn't help but thinking was, how much fun would we have writing on that show, Danielle?
Oh, how much fun would we have writing on literally any,
any show? Well, the thing though, it's not a comedy.
It's so over the top.
It's so over the top, but I think they're very sincere in these lines of like, this is good.
Also, when you name him Will Trent, it sounds like you're saying, Will Trent do this?
Yeah.
Like, will he? Like, it's a verb.
It sounds very porny. Like, it sounds like a porn name.
Who plays Will Trent?
I have no idea.
Garen.
His name is Ramon Rodriguez.
Oh. Okay. Well, that sounds better than what I was picturing, which is that guy from the Sydney Sweeney movie who's, like, in a bunch of stuff now and is so bland I can't even, like...
Yeah, that guy.
...commit his face to memory.
No, he's like vanilla ice cream. I was picturing the guy...
Hey. Vanilla ice cream is really good.
Oh, you know what? I love it with like a little bit of hot fudge and some pecans. I was picturing the guy from that other show, the promos were killing me, where it was like Joe something who was like, is he a firefighter?
Oh,
he's not bad looking.
Let me see. He's very handsome. I don't know. That's not what I pictured. Okay.
But it was like he could, it was a show about where it was like the guy could have three different lives where he's either going to be a pop star or a firefighter or like, I don't know, a divorced dad or something. It was so dumb.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
But it was like those promos were also like, how is this a show? That's what it should have been called.
I wanted to share with you something I saw on Twitter.
Please.
And maybe I'm crazy.
I hope it's about J-Lo.
It's not, unfortunately.
Dang it. I do have something about her.
Oh, good.
Surprisingly. Well, I thought we exhausted her forever.
Yeah, we talked about her on our bonus episode, and it was so super fun.
longer than the movie.
Yeah, longer than the movie. Okay, so someone posts, we are entering another golden era for dudes who look a little funky. If you're a white guy who looks a little weird with it, it's your time to shine. It's a picture of Barry Keoghan and the bear.
From Saltburn. And yeah, the guy from The Bear.
Right, okay.
Who does look a little bit like Gene Wilder. Like a hot Gene
right,
Wilder.
Right, right. So then people say, we've loved men like this forever. We need a moment for weird-looking women. Okay, so then people, of course, post who their weird-looking woman is. Okay, Kristen Schaal, completely exactly
yep,
right.
Sure.
Okay. Then someone says, like Shelley Duvall, perfect.
Yes.
Yes, okay. These all make sense. Then, I gotta find it. Oh, Elizabeth Moss. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. That makes sense.
Shit. So I gotta find it. Hold on. Let me look at my replies. Because I got into it. I didn't really, but it just makes you. Okay. So then someone goes, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Uh-uh. No, she's very, very beautiful.
So to which
I'm sorry.
To which I wrote, what? She's drop dead gorgeous. This is the men's idea of.
Yeah. I think they get to congratulate themselves for feeling attracted to her.
To Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, because they think she's, like, not traditionally beautiful.
So then,
and I'm like, uh-uh, sorry, she's gorgeous.
So then Jibblepuss says...
Jibblepuss?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we all know Jibblepuss. Yeah.
Says, I think she's beautiful, but she not conventionally attractive.
Sorry, wrong.
Then someone else, Adriana Law-Serving Cunt, writes...
Oh, you're getting the good ones today.
Yeah, whew.
Writes, I agree with Jibblepuss.
Yeah.
And then Stevie Nicks, N-I-X, says, yes, correct. Just like we think these two guys are gorgeous. No. No. No.
Sorry. Uh-uh.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think Barry Keoghan's gorgeous. I don't think Jeremy Allen White's gorgeous. Jeremy Allen White is sexy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gorgeous. Phoebe Waller-Bridge has a perfect body and a perfect face
yes.
and perfect hair.
Yes.
Like I was like, this is men's definition
yeah.
of.
But these are
it's
guys
so fucked up
who are like Pamela Anderson is what is the sexiest, and so if you don't look like a
I
Baywatch
know.
Model, like their generic idea of what is conventionally beautiful is also what's hemming them in, right? Like
also she's probably taller than them, so they're a little.
I was just
yeah.
thought that was amazing
That's,
that was considered.
Yes.
And then I thought I'd have, oh wait, I did have 12 people like
oh, also,
my
also she
comment.
Doesn't have long hair. So like if you,
you're right.
She has short hair and men are like, oh, something weird happened. I felt attracted to a woman with short hair who also isn't Charlize Theron. But like,
right.
I must be smart. Like I'm... So, I must be a good person because I just got
right.
a boner for a woman with short hair.
Wait, I just forgot about this part. So then someone else wrote to someone else, my guy, what do you think Faye Dunaway's career was? So
what?
I wrote, you mean the waspy thin blonde lady?
Yeah, who was probably like a former model.
I know. And no one commented on that or liked it.
Because they're stupid.
I'm just arguing with myself over
yeah,
here. But I'm
yeah.
like, what? How dare you? Anyway, that was my little tirade for the moment. I just
I love
felt
you having
I
need, a little Twitter
I need,
war. How good for
but
you.
But I hate arguing on Twitter, but
no.
I was like, I can't, I won't argue about anything that is actually important.
Right. You're not going to get on there and start
because I'll get
arguing
a stomach
with
ache.
Like Kennedy people or something.
Right, right.
Wild
like
about,
I'm,
like vaccines.
Exactly.
So that's what I'll do. I'll do that. And then I'm with my own family members.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm such an idiot.
Yeah, I can't handle, I get so like nerve wracked and sick.
Yeah.
I've done it a couple of times and then I'm like, oh, I can't do it. So this, I was like, well, this is safe.
Yes.
But then I really expected more people. I mean, they liked my comment. I really expected more people to, like, get my back.
I didn't even see it. Otherwise, I would have.
I would have, too. But I don't think I even looked at Twitter. I look at Twitter, like, once every 17 days.
Yeah.
And mostly it's our page. Like,
do you mean X, formerly Twitter?
Sorry, I can't do that. I'm not giving that to Elon Musk.
No one does. No. It's funny. They still call it, they'll either, in articles, they'll either say X, formerly Twitter, or they'll just call it Twitter.
Yeah. It's, we're not giving it to him because he's such a dum-dum. Can I read something that kind of delighted me?
Yes.
So for some reason, I just keep listening to podcasts about J-Lo's extravaganza, Don't Call It a Music Video.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this in the New York Times, and it's that just the first little mini paragraph of this story by Wesley Morris, who I enjoy. He's a like cultural critic, and he has some different podcasts for NYT.
Okay.
So this is his first paragraph about... the name of it is called J-Lo and Behold, Is She For Real? Nobody who winds up at a what's the strangest moment in this new J-Lo thingy contest should worry. There are no wrong answers.
That's great.
It just made me laugh. So I wanted to share that because I don't know if I had mentioned this in our bonus, because as Danielle mentioned in our Patreon, we really go a long time on how
we talk about our clothing. We talk everything.
We just go into it. But like, they're very soft on it, you know, like in praiseworthy, like a little too praiseworthy in the podcast I listened to. But then I did listen to this podcast called
You're Just Waiting for Someone to Agree
I'm like
with
somebody
us.
Just so I listened to this other podcast. It's called The Popcast. It's an NPR podcast where they talk about pop music, and they get it. You know, it's a lot of
that's funny. NPR talking about pop music.
But or no, it's a New York Times podcast.
Oh.
And it's two music critics.
Oh, okay.
So they like know everything about everything, and they get into the weeds, and they'll talk. They it feels like two scientists talking about science. Like, it's way beyond my knowledge of a lot of pop.
That's kind of cool.
But they do, they'll get into, like, you know, there's a lot about Taylor Swift, but this week they talked about the J-Lo thing. And they were just like, you could feel them just like going, okay, so, wow, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, whoa, God, sheesh. Like, they really did not, they did hold back, like, from really eviscerating it. But thank goodness they were like, this, why did it happen? Like,
right.
And they did talk about Jane Fonda, like, trying to talk her out of it. And
oh, they did.
They
oh,
did.
Good.
They did. So I did feel like, I was like, finally, someone is acknowledging this
Jesus.
Sort of mess and why it would happen. So I was like, I feel seen. But I think my husband fell a little bit in love with her.
With J-Lo?
Yes, during the movie, because he was like, I don't want people to be mean to her.
That's hysterical, because she's so pretty.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God. I get it. She's so pretty.
She's so pretty. He's, like, feeling a little bad for her. And I'm like, Sven, she's going to be okay.
She's fine. Does he not know who she is?
I mean,
is he only, like, vaguely aware of who she is?
Maybe. You know, he's not as tapped into the cultural conversation and not as aware, like.
He didn't watch In Living Color?
No. He's seen like one movie with her that where she's like, it's like this weird artsy movie where she's being tracked by a serial killer and she's all in all these cool costumes. And that's
The Cell?
Yes, which he thinks is an amazing film, and it's probably the one movie I don't need to see her in. Mm. And so he's got like, you know, a warm.
Oh, wait, did you guys see the thing I texted you about?
The Iliad?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't stop thinking about it. They talk about that on the podcast too.
Oh.
As that they were saying, like, in 10 years this movie, the video music should be like a double screening with The Boy Next Door, where everybody's just like laughing and having a good time.
Yeah.
So explain to the audience.
So in The Boy Next Door, which I never saw, but I do remember the commercials very clearly because it was like extremely embarrassing. She's like a mom whose teenage son's friend she ends up having an affair with. Is that the premise?
The Boy Next Door.
Yeah.
Who's 19.
So someone put a clip, you know, on Twitter saying like, well, every day I think of this scene and I can't get it out of my head. And it's that this boy got her, first of all, he looks 25. He does not look like a teenager. But he got her a first edition signed copy of the Iliad.
Which is actually 3,000. Like,
which makes no sense. They didn't have ballpoint pens. Like,
3,000 years old.
It wouldn't be bound in a book. It was an oral tradition. Yeah. Like, and then he says he got it for a dollar at a yard sale.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. And it was like, no one thought this needed to be a
Google didn't exist. Then no one.
Oh God! No, it was so
nobody checked
funny.
That. Oh my God! It makes me so happy.
It makes me want to watch the movie.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, we may have to watch that. All right. Well, today we're going to learn.
Yes.
How to survive a kangaroo attack.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Well, this is actually really helpful information for so many of us who are going to face this.
It's a huge country. It's not even just a country. It's a continent.
Oh my God. I already learned something just now.
You didn't know Australia was a country and a continent?
I did.
Okay. I have been to Australia twice as a young person with my parents. And we did witness a kangaroo stampede.
No way.
Yeah.
On humans?
No, maybe stampede's the wrong word. They were all just running really fast.
Okay.
And maybe after something, yeah. I don't know.
That's cool.
But they're scary. Mm-hmm. They are scary. Okay. Give you a little facts.
I'm ready.
First of all, this article was about kangaroos and wallabies, so I'm just going to give you a little tutorial on the differences. One of the biggest characteristics of the wallaby that separates them from the kangaroo is size.
Mm-hmm.
Wallabies usually grow only to about 3 feet tall.
That seems kind of tall.
And weigh around 45 pounds. Kangaroos grow much larger, usually around 8 feet tall.
Holy cow.
And weigh about 150 to 200 pounds.
That's how they can kick your ass.
Yes. They are scary. Okay.
Why aren't we getting them playing basketball?
You know, because they're too busy boxing.
Okay. Well, those would be,
that'd
there
be was a movie about that.
There was?
Well, isn't Kangaroo Jack about a basketball playing kangaroo?
I don't know. You'll have to. That'll have to be for the what did we learn today.
Might be confusing.
I wish J-Lo was in that.
There were films of, you know, in oldie times, yes, of kangaroos with gloves on boxing people. This
poor
was like
kangaroos.
A thing they did. Yeah. Today, people rarely live in close contact with large wildlife. As a result, we have lost much of our wariness and firsthand knowledge of these animals and how they live. This means we can get too close to kangaroos and wallabies without thinking about the consequences. For kangaroos, I'm just going to switch it to kangaroos because I don't think anyone's ever been attacked by a wallaby. So just if you get attacked by a wallaby, that's on you.
Yeah. You did something really wrong in your
really.
Life. Really. Right?
For kangaroos living on the bushland fringe of a suburban area, a human may be seen as little more than a large animal living in its habitat,
mm-hmm,
and one that they may occasionally need to defend themselves against. There are occasions when people come into conflict with kangaroos, usually due to a combination of the availability of attractive habitat and increasing urbanization from an expanding population. See, it's our fault. Once again.
It usually is.
Yes. Where these situations arise, landholders can take a number of actions to help reduce the impact of kangaroos on their property. Imagine, like, you have a kangaroo infestation. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to get rid of rabbits or deers.
Kangaroos.
It's like gigantic creatures that probably should have gone out with the dinosaur.
We thought cockroaches were a problem, right?
Right.
These are like 9 feet tall.
These are monsters.
Yeah.
These are adorable monsters.
They will stomp on you until you're dead.
Who have like their own purse on them.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
To deter kangaroos from gardens and lawns in residential areas, landholders. They're not asking for rent from the kangaroo.
They should. Maybe they should try that.
They empty out your pouch.
Yeah,
let me see what you have.
What's in the bag?
That's right. Landholders are recommended to appropriately fence their property to exclude these animals. Note, some residential areas have covenants in place to retain wildlife corridors, and fencing may not be permitted.
Oh.
Limit the animals' access to water. Regularly mow lawns to reduce grass cover because they're coming to eat your lawn, I guess.
Okay.
Increase the coverage of other vegetation to reduce lawn size and grazing comfort. Use deterrent products like sonic deterrents or blood and bone fertilizer.
Oh, I got to get that blood and bone in there.
Oh, that's Gwyneth's newest meal plan, right?
I think so.
Blood and bone fertilizer?
Yeah.
It's so warm. It just warms your soul and your stomach.
You can get it on Goop.
Use motion-activated security lights, which may deter nighttime grazing. Wild animals should never be seen as having set patterns of behavior that they follow blindly. Individual animals have their own personalities and learn in response to their experiences. If a kangaroo has been raised in captivity and released into the wild, okay, it may approach you demanding food by scratching and biting.
You.
Uh-huh. It may, because they've experienced humans. Now they're in the wild. It's just, they're confused, I think. It may even see you as another animal and start to kick and scratch as a form of play fighting or to assert its dominance. Kangaroos that are injured or sick can also become defensive. Do not ask them what their five-year plan is.
Yeah.
They get real defensive.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. I'm just going to hop around for a while.
Yeah.
See where it goes. You don't owe me.
Take a hop year.
I'm going to take a... Nice. Take a hop year. In these situations, a trained wildlife rehabilitator should be contacted rather than approaching the animal yourself if they're getting dangerous. Kangaroos are protected wildlife, and a permit is needed to raise a joey in captivity. So don't think like, oh, you're going to be the mama.
Yeah, I can handle this.
Right. An important part of raising a joey is to ensure that it is capable of caring for itself in the wild without human assistance when it is released. That's probably true for a lot of species. Females with joeys that are old enough to be out of the pouch can also become aggressive if they feel that the presence of a person is a possible threat to their young. Both male and female kangaroos are large, powerful, wild animals that are capable of inflicting injury on people, and they need to be treated with an appropriate level of respect and caution. If you enter an area where kangaroos live, give them as much space as possible. If you see one, stay away from it and watch how it behaves. If it moves toward you or shows signs of being aggressive, move away. Even if it is only looking for food or human contact, a kangaroo may still become aggressive.
Okay.
Don't act aggressively towards the kangaroo or wallaby, as this will simply reinforce the idea that you are a threat. Manage your personal safety and avoid risks. Don't shoo the roo.
Okay. They get defensive?
They're like, I was going anyway.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me what to do. I know where the exit is.
They're so sensitive.
They really are. Avoid approaching them or encouraging them to move off using gestures or objects. So this is not like the bear.
Okay.
You don't want to wave things at it.
Okay.
And, I mean, one of the bears, you're supposed to do that, right? Black attack.
Wave things at it?
Well, like, be big and...
Well, like, mountain lions, you want to make yourself big, right?
But wasn't it black attack,
brown black fight back,
brown lie down? Yeah.
Yeah. If it's, I mean, if it's coming to attack you.
Right. Not just because you're
just randomly.
Bored. Yeah. Okay, this might frighten them and make them feel the need to defend themselves. Don't go near kangaroos engaged in courtship or mating behavior.
Really? I shouldn't? Like, if they're humping, I shouldn't walk over and, like, try to join?
Well, but this is what male courtship is. It could just be sniffing.
Oh.
Sniffing, touching, or moving around with females.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like the general rule is just don't go near any kangaroo doing anything.
I would
even
agree.
If it's cooking spaghetti on my stove.
That's so cute.
Would be adorable.
It keeps the spices in its pouch.
Yes.
It just adds them and tastes with the wooden spoon and then adds more spices.
Yeah, right in its little pouch. But don't go over there.
Don't go over there. Also, it's hot.
Yeah.
And too many cooks in the kitchen, am I right?
Yes.
Don't go near male kangaroos that are sparring, fighting, or showing off their size and strength to each other. Don't go near a kangaroo that is growling or clucking.
No chance of that.
Good, I'm fine. Don't move between a female and her joey.
Uh-uh.
Females will protect a young at foot and may become aggressive if they feel the presence of a person is a threat to their young. Recognize warning signs of aggressive and dominant behavior. Eastern gray kangaroo raccoons.
Mm. You forgot which one you were doing.
I know. Eastern gray kangaroos can breed throughout the year. This means that a dominant male will always be watching the females in his mob. They're called mobs, what they hang out in.
Of course they
There's
are.
There's more than one male in a mob, but only one male gets to mate.
Okay.
With all the females.
I bet that's a little tense.
Yeah, you think so? But also, like, what do you do if you're the male and you don't, like, what do you, you just... hump a tree or something? Like, what do you do your whole life?
Yeah, what are you doing with all that energy?
I don't know. It's weird. What are you going to do with all that ass? What's she gonna do with all that? Okay. I know it's hump, it's not ass. Okay, don't move between a female and her joey. Females will protect young. Oh, I already said that. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. A dominant male will always be watching the females in his mob and also keeping an eye on other males that may try to mate with these females or challenge his dominance.
So stalkery.
I know, right?
I would not want to be one of those kangy so ladies being needy. Stared at all the time.
I know.
Ugh.
People who get too close to a dominant male when it is pursuing a female or mating could also be seen as a threat. A dominant male kangaroo shows other males who's boss in a number of ways, including, this creeped me out, walking slowly on all fours with its back arched to intimidate other males.
Jeez.
Usually it's creepy when an animal who's normally on fours goes up on two.
Yeah.
But there's something so creepy to me about a kangaroo suddenly like crawling like exorcist-like all over.
Men did this.
Yeah, they just started crawling like on all fours.
When you're like single.
And they just sniff you.
Oh my God. It's so disturbing.
And then they come up to Phoebe Waller-Bridge and they're like, no thanks.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
I could do better.
Yeah.
I mean, she's sexy in a quirky way.
She looks like she can solve math problems.
Okay. Rubbing its chest from side to side on the ground. Ooh, creepy.
Oh, jeez.
Grabbing onto grass tussocks and low shrubs with its forelimbs and rubbing its chest over them. I don't like its perfume. I don't know.
They're leaving their scent on the grass? Are they getting the grass scent on themselves?
I don't know. I think, I don't know. Maybe it's the scent. I don't know. Standing erect by propping itself up on its tail and hind feet and urinating. These are just slobs.
You know what? I'm really glad we're human.
I am too. Fighting and sparring. Subdominant males, which that's like a category on...
That feels very BDSM.
Yeah, right? Subdominant males will acknowledge the dominant male status by giving a short cough. Yeah. If there is no cough response, a fight may result.
Oh my God. It's so wild.
It's really crazy. What to do if you feel threatened by a kangaroo? Move away as slowly as possible to a safe place. So don't go running.
Okay. God, it's, you know what? With all these stories with animals, it's going to be so hard not to run.
Yes.
Right? To just be it like, is. Your adrenaline is going to be moving so fast. Every instinct is going to tell you to run and scream and panic.
Most of these don't run. Don't run with a dog. Don't run with a kangaroo.
Yes. Don't run with a mountain lion.
Don't run with a mountain lion. Was there anything we are supposed to run from? Maybe a snake?
Maybe a person who's chasing us.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this is good advice then. Give a short, deep cough, because now you're mimicking the subdominant male.
How many animals do you think we're going to wrongly cough at?
Just in case.
Yeah, just be coughing at rattlesnakes. Does this work? Nothing's happening.
Was it clear your throat? Was it sneeze?
I'm going to just blow my nose. I don't know. See if anything happens.
You know there's some dude who's like, I'm not coughing at that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Avoid eye contact. Bow your head and keep your arms close to your body as you move away.
Oh.
This will make you appear smaller and less of a threat to the kangaroo. Do not turn your back on the animal or run. A lot of backwards walking in the animal forest, in the animal wilderness, whatever. Where possible, put a barrier between you and the animal, such as a tree or fence. Raise your hands and lead your head away from the animal to minimize the chances. This is if they're super close to you at this point.
Okay.
To minimize the chances of being scratched across the face by the kangaroo's nasty claws.
Oh my God.
So it's not just that they're super strong. They also have really sharp claws.
Oh, you're going to get your whole face just.
Yes. Retreat, but do not turn your back and run. A kangaroo can easily chase you down, kicking as it hops.
No. I'm sorry, but this is terrifying.
I know. If you happen to have an object with you.
I'm going to have I'm going to have Garen's water bottle, but it's going to be made of steel.
Yes.
And it's full of bullets.
Oh.
Whoa. I just invented it. It's a water
It just carries
gun.
Bullets, doesn't shoot them.
Yeah, you just throw the bullets at
I guess. Someone. I don't know. I'm still working out the details.
You suck the bullets out through the opening and then hope they don't get stuck in the...
Spit them.
Yeah. Okay. If you happen to have an object with you when the kangaroo approaches, for example, a branch, stick, pole, etc., hold it out in front of you so it acts as a barrier.
Okay.
So I'm guessing, I think holding it out, you know, horizontally. Uh-huh. This may deter an aggressive kangaroo, but never use the object to strike the animal. Mm. So don't strike, just use it. If the kangaroo does attack, drop to the ground. curl into a ball, if able, or otherwise lie face down and use your arms to protect your head and neck. Mm-hmm. Try and remain calm. And still until the animal moves away. You don't stand much of a chance to in a toe-to-toe standoff with a rampaging kangaroo, which can swipe you with clawed hands or deliver powerful kicks to your abdomen while supporting itself on its tail.
Jeez. Wait a second. It's supporting itself on its tail?
Yes.
Stop it. Yes. Can it just balance itself on its, like its tail gets flat and then it can just use all of its limbs?
it's like the last airbender or something. I don't know. A kangaroo's foot claws are sharp enough to slice open a human abdomen.
Stop it.
Okay.
You know, there should be a mechanism in the human body that when you feel fear, because I think this happens to other animals, you just lose consciousness immediately.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to tell you, are you ready for a story?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. I will tell you that there was a death in 1936, and then there was another death in like 2020.
Oh.
That guy seemed to be having the kangaroo on his property. Like maybe he was keeping it as a pet.
Maybe he was trying to have sex with it. You know there's dudes out there trying to have sex with
the
kangaroo.
Out back, yeah. Something was going on. This is not one of those stories.
Dang it. Just kidding.
Okay. A man's morning walk with his dog ended in a dangerous encounter with a monster kangaroo over the weekend in Australia. Although uncommon, kangaroo attacks on humans do occur. Earlier this month, a kangaroo attacked a 74-year-old man in Australia. The attack hospitalized... Oh, this was a different one. The attack hospitalized the man who needed stitches, bandages, and antibiotics. That guy was on a motorcycle.
Oh, my Lord.
The guy just like, the guy.
The kangaroo just balanced on its tail and then flew out.
He started
knocked the guy right off his motorcycle.
Then he drove it away.
Yeah.
In 2022, this is what I was referring to, an Australian man who was keeping a wild kangaroo as a pet was killed when the animal attacked him. Oh, by the way, in that story... They couldn't get to him for a while because the kangaroo still remained a threat.
Oh, wow.
So the...
Like those two dogs in last week's story.
Yes, exactly. So the EMT people or whatever they're called down there.
Yeah.
EMTs. EMTs. So maybe he would have lived. I don't know. But the kangaroo was like, you're not getting on this property.
Yeah. And they were like, okay.
Right. So this guy, the guy I'm talking about now, Mick Maloney's dog, Hatchie, nearly became a victim of a kangaroo drowning on Saturday when a 7-foot-tall kangaroo seized the dog and attempted to drown it in the Murray River in Mildura, Victoria. And yes, there is video footage of this. Maloney, who is a former police officer and martial artist, according to a report by the New York Post, didn't hesitate to fight the kangaroo to save his dog's life.
Wow.
Morning walk with the pack got close to the river and Hatchie was missing. Next minute, he comes up gargling, getting drowned by this monster. Never punch a roo in the mouth. It freaking hurts. Maloney wrote on Facebook on Saturday afternoon. It grabbed me and tried to drown me, too.
Whoa.
Maloney included a video that showed the brutal encounter with his post. In the 32-second video, the hulking kangaroo is holding the dog in the river. It's fucking terrifying.
And he's also taking video, or someone else taking video?
It's him. It's definitely him, because then the video ends because the kangaroo has attacked him.
Oh my god.
The phone, you know, goes in the water. So they're at a lake or something. The phone goes in the water.
This is nuts.
I'm going to punch your fucking head in, Maloney warns the kangaroo as he approaches it in the video. Let go of my dog.
So Australian.
Yeah. The two of them entered into... then afterwards, they made up and had a beer on the side of the
Foster's.
River.
Foster's. Yes.
Foster's. Australian for beer. Is that one of those things where it really isn't popular in Australia? I can't remember.
It is. I drink a lot of it.
It is popular in Australia. Okay.
Yes.
The two of them entered into a brawl with lots of splashing. The pair separated at the kangaroo, sporting massive muscles and dangerous claws, lunged at Maloney before Maloney retreated to the riverbank to join his dogs. The video has been shared widely across social media. They are powerful animals. Mostly attacks involve kicking people, leading to bruising and puncture wounds from their sharp toes. Maloney told the New York Post that he walked away with some scratches on his arm, but he and his dog were mostly unscathed.
Whoa, that's nuts.
You don't see, obviously, him fighting the kangaroo because at that point the phone has been dropped. But I encourage everyone, we're going to put this in the newsletter, to go to his Facebook page, because that's where it was originally posted. But I don't know if you can find the video there, but I also have a link to the video. But the Facebook page is like, yeah, watching the Super Bowl, waiting for Swifty. So kill me. I mean, he's like this big buff Australian dude, and he's like extremely sweet, and all of it. It's just cute. It's all his posts are like very adorable, and trying to save his dog.
And he also fights kangaroos.
And he fights kangaroos
in
his spare time.
I think I would have to let my dog go in that situation.
Oh, I don't know. I think your instinct to save your dog.
Yeah? I don't know. Kangaroos sound really scary.
He's drowning it. It's so creepy.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if they're really smart.
Kangaroos?
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to drown the dog. You know what I mean?
They don't eat meat, right?
No, they're vegetarian.
So what's the...
I mean, herbivores.
Unless it was like the dog was near their baby or something.
And it's my memory is it's not a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it was near the baby. Yeah, maybe it was near the baby.
It was kind of like this is a threat.
But it's like the size of a Joey. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Be careful if you go to Australia.
Yeah. When I went to Australia, I was in a kangaroo reserve. Is it reserve or preserve? I don't know. One of those.
Preserve is when you put it on toast.
Yes. And I did that as well. I did eat some kangaroo.
Vegemite and kangaroo.
Vegemite every morning.
I guess it's Marmite there, right?
No Vegemite.
But Marmite's something too.
It is, but I don't remember.
Oh, okay, Vegemite sandwich, right.
I did have Vegemite. I think I grew to like it somehow.
I don't think I've ever had it, but it's just yeast. It's
like
not,
it tastes a little like soy sauce.
That makes sense.
In a paste on toast. I don't know why I thought that was good. But yeah, they were just wandering around and you could be there with them.
Yeah.
But I feel like they might, now that you're, I feel like they might have been wallabies because they were not as big as 8 feet. They were much smaller.
Yeah. I'm guessing maybe the females are maybe a little smaller.
Yeah.
But
maybe.
I mean, you've seen those videos when people show like this jacked kangaroo.
Yes.
And they're like, they look like they've been working out. But what I don't understand is, well, I guess they do run on all fours. But you wouldn't expect their upper body to be so strong. But it is. It's freaky.
I don't understand why and how they exist.
I agree with you. I don't know either. They do seem like monsters, don't they?
And also, like, I had read they are the only animal that can sort of have a baby, like, that gestates still on the outside. Like,
right, they're a mammal, but...
Like, they're marsupial, right?
Yes.
So there's the one, they'll have one growing, and then they'll have one in the pouch, but it's still growing, like, it's not born yet. Like, it's this weird way of gestation.
Yeah.
So there's like, they can have one. I can't remember. I'd need.
Yeah, because. Wait a second.
They can keep.
I just had a thought. Do they give birth? They're mammals. Do they give birth and then put them in the pouch? Or does the birth canal lead to the pouch?
I think it leads to the pouch. Because when they go to the pouch, they're not ready yet.
Right. They're like little. Have you ever seen them? They're gross.
They're like still
hairless,
embryonic.
Pink. They're gross.
And they're not ready.
In Alabama, they'd be five-year-olds.
Yes. And then they can have another one in the oven, right?
But do you mean from the same litter? Or are you saying from two separate...
No, like a separate gestation.
Oh,
so that's why they can produce so many, I think.
Irish twins.
No other species can
do
that, I don't think, unless it's another marsupial that has a pouch, which is would be, what's another marsupial with a pouch?
Koalas. Because koalas aren't bears. We just call them koalas.
But do they have a pouch?
Well, they're marsupials, so they must.
I don't know.
And then
must they?
I think they must. Maybe wombats? I don't know. Definitely... Wallabies.
Right. Yes.
Maybe wallaroos.
We know so little.
So little. I gotta pee like you wouldn't believe.
Oh my gosh. What? You?
I know. I only went twice so far. I don't have a problem.
Are you sure?
No. I'm not sure. Maybe I do. I'm drinking tea.
What's that have to do with anything?
Isn't caffeine a diuretic?
Yeah, but like... I think you should talk to your doctor.
You do?
I do.
Which doctor would that be? The pee doctor?
A primary care physician.
Really?
I think you shouldn't
Do you really think I have to pee too much?
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely.
You've thought this for a while and just haven't said anything?
I just thought you had already talked to a doctor.
I just assumed it was how I am.
No, that's you shouldn't
it's
have
not?
To. You shouldn't have to go this much.
All right, great.
I have another thing I'll bring up off air.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Ah. Ooh. Oh, there she goes.
We'll be back after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, here we are again.
Back and better than
ever. Back in the saddle.
Oh, pew!
Yeah, speaking of Beyonce and her video, that it didn't even say video, it said official, what was the word? Like videolet. It didn't say that, but it was just because it was just her coming
visualizer in. Or something.
Visualizer. Yeah.
Stop.
Yes.
That's, so
that's what it said. A visualizer. I don't know what that means, but obviously it's.
Beyonce can just make up words and we're all
along
for the ride.
You mean like Beyonce?
Yeah. Well, she didn't make it up. Her parents did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love that song.
And
I'm pretty good. I'm ready for Beyonce's country era.
Yeah, it's fine.
If she does rock and roll next, I'm going to go bang my head at a Beyonce concert. Huh. She can do anything.
She can do everything.
Maybe not paint.
Did she try to paint?
I saw some of her artwork
from
a friend.
Is it abstract?
It's like self-portrait stuff.
She painted herself?
What do you think, Danielle? Of course she painted herself.
Did she paint herself pregnant with the flowers all around her? That was so fucking tacky. I'm sorry.
Who did that?
Her.
Oh.
When she was pregnant, you know, they do that thing people do where they're like, I'm pregnant, so I'm going to show my belly with a bunch of flowers. It's like Ann Getty's, but before the baby's born.
Why didn't I do that?
Oh, it's so tacky. I think it's just like.
Sven took a bunch of naked pictures of me, and then once in a while the kids see them. And Benji,
you mean when you were pregnant?
Yeah,
really?
Right. It was like 2 days before I gave birth.
Whoa!
I didn't know that was I was going to give birth in two days. But if Benji thinks I have big nipples now, oh boy, they were massive.
Well, I'm sure. But you said they've seen them. What? How do they react?
They're just like, no.
Yeah. And then you go, that's you in there. Yep. You're in that naked tummy.
Yep. Both of us. Guys, should we bring in our guests?
Yes. Well, let me just say that on the first half of the show, we talked about getting in some trouble down under. And now we're going to talk about having some trouble down below.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Anne Gregory.
Yep.
Anne, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited. Writer.
Yeah.
Actor. Comedian.
Yeah.
Co-host of a very fun new podcast called Non-Drinking Buddies with Rebecca Johnson.
Yes, my comedy partner.
And you also have a fun live show called The Retreat.
Yeah.
It's a comedy variety show.
The Guardian.
Oh, even better.
Guardian and Time Out UK. Top 10.
Because you did it at Edinburgh.
At Edinburgh Fringe last year.
And now you're doing it here.
Yeah, I do it here.
So
we started it here. At the Lyric Hyperion, which I own with my husband. So, yeah.
You do?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
That's crazy.
People can go see it.
Yes.
Get tickets. Go see it.
Listen to the pod.
Yeah.
And I'm out. Bye-bye.
Oh, no.
No, she just left, guys. And it's weird because she doesn't understand that she's supposed to stay and tell a story.
Oh, okay. No, I'm staying.
She's back.
I'm staying.
Oh, good. Okay.
Staying.
Anyway. Maybe we should get into your story.
Yes.
Okay.
That was fun.
So you were talking about down under.
Yes.
And I'm talking about down below.
Right.
And how I survived my first period.
Nice.
I got it at 11.
Whoa.
It's a little early.
Yeah, 11 and three quarters.
Okay.
So sixth grade-ish.
Between fifth grade and sixth grade. I was held back.
Okay.
For spraying perfume in my eyes several times.
Wait, what?
In kindergarten, I have ADHD, and I would spray things in my eyes to get attention, and then they held me back. Yeah, but that's another story.
Why would that affect your ability to do...
I was just addition. I was distracting. I was running around in circles. Like
But is making you the biggest kid in class going to help?
It helped.
Okay, it did.
Like, right. I went to a good college, and there's no way I would have unless I was way older than the other kids.
Is that true?
Oh.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. 100%.
Okay.
I'm not smart. I got my period when I was 11 at Epcot. In the Chinese Pavilion.
Oh, okay. That's a great place.
Yeah, it's a dream place. And I had just housed a full portion of Kung Pao chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I could really pack it in, still can. I thought I just had a tummy ache.
Oh, mm-hmm. That makes sense. So who are you with at
I'm
Epcot?
With my sister Jean and my parents. My sister Kathleen is in high school.
Okay.
And she's in an exchange program in Germany.
Whoa.
Oh.
At the time. So it's just my sister mm-hmm. and my parents.
And your sister Jean is how old at this time?
She is 3.5 years older than me. So 14-ish.
Gotcha.
So I go to the bathroom thinking I have a tummy ache. And I look down and I'm like, my motherfucker, I'm a woman. Aww, I saw the blood. I had two older sisters and I knew what this meant.
So you knew it was going to come at some point. Didn't probably think it was going to be at 11.
No.
Not the happiest place on earth.
No.
No. I mean, Epcot, is that the happiest place on earth?
I don't know. I've never been there, so I don't understand.
Oh, it's sad.
Yeah.
I've been there. But it's part of Disney World, right?
Yes, 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 okay. Yes, yes. But it's like, it's got this like Tomorrowland, which is kind of like, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's got like technology, like futuristic world, but kind of in a way that you thought it would be in the 50s.
Yeah, right.
And then it's got these little pavilions, which are different villages. Like
it feels like it
different...
was built for adults.
Yes.
Like,
people get
who
drunk.
Don't ever travel anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. People get drunk there, mm-hmm. and that's like a thing. Some people, like Disney adults, go there for their bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Okay.
But I was not. I was 11.
Yeah.
I was not on the sauce yet.
Right.
So I go to my mom, and she
the
just
sauce
can't...
was on you.
The sauce was on me.
Or
blood
in
sauce. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. My sister, my mom gave me a tampon, expecting me to know what to do with it at 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was the youngest of three girls.
You went up to her and you say, "Mom, I just had my period."
Yes.
Is this embarrassing or is this just like matter of fact to
I
you?
I was
or?
Pissed. I did not want to be a woman.
Gotcha.
Because like we were told that's like when you become a woman back mm-hmm. then. I hope they're not telling that to kids these days.
You're right. That's
fucked up.
That's really fucked up.
You're 11 years old. You're a woman. You can procreate now.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Go vote.
Go vote. Yeah. In 7 years.
Go make important decisions.
Yeah.
Right. So I take this tampon. Fuck my mom for thinking that I know what to do with the tampon. So I find a hole.
In the bathroom wall?
I find a hole mm-hmm. and I stick it up there.
Okay.
And it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
And I waddle out.
Right.
And I'm still bleeding on my teal and purple Umbros.
Oh, no.
I'm also wearing a Hard Rock London shirt.
Of course you are.
Just to paint a picture.
I love this look.
This feels very my age, but I'm sure you're younger than us.
No.
But all of this sounds very familiar. Okay.
So I'm bleeding all over my butt and my area. Well, I had stuck the tampon up my butt.
Oh, my God.
At Epcot in the Chinese Pavilion. There were acrobats around me doing their stuff, and I had just become a woman.
When did you realize that you did the wrong thing? Or, I mean,
told my mom I'm still bleeding. She came in with me to the bathroom and examined it. Okay.
So you didn't know you stuck it up your butt?
No, not yet.
You just found a hole and thought that was the hole.
I had never explored that other hole.
We have three holes.
And to any listeners who aren't aware, three.
Right.
Real important.
The pee hole, the tampon hole, and the butt hole.
And the poo-poo hole.
Right.
Yeah, those are the technical terms for it.
So she...
Yeah.
Okay, so you're covered in blood.
Covered in blood. She comes back... Mary Sharon Sullivan Gregory comes back in with me.
Okay.
And we triage.
Uh-huh.
She's like, "Oh, that's not the hole you're supposed to stick it up in." And
like she's not even shocked.
She gives me another tampon.
Okay, wait, did she take it out for you?
No, she just like, "Pull the string Ah, pull a string. She's just like coaching me loudly.
I was so going like in a
people
bad
in the back can
bathroom?
Hear. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Just
oh
really
trying
to. The acrobats out there can hear it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They fall down. One's a paraplegic now. They didn't fall down. So then I try again, and that hole, it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 11.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
Mary Sharon Sullivan Gregory, what are you doing? So I ask. I know about pads. I'm like, can I have a pad?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She rifles through her little purse, probably a Coach bag. She was very proud of her Coach bags.
Oh.
And she looks in and no change. Sorry.
Oh.
So I wait. Uh-huh. She's like, I'll see if your dad has any change. So then
for men who don't know, in public restrooms, there's usually a machine where you put a quarter in and you can get a pad or sometimes a tampon.
Yeah. So I wait, which seems like forever, in the Epcot bathroom stall, and then my mom finally comes back with a pad.
Thank goodness.
Okay, so, but I'm at this point covered in blood. I've had anal sex for the first time. I'm a woman!
Wait, you're Catholic, right?
Yes.
I'm taking it from that name?
Yeah.
So that's not technically sex, right?
No, I guess not. I guess not. But at 11, I was like, I stuck something up my ass.
Right.
I put the pad onto my already very dirty underwear.
Yes.
And the Umbros are soaked.
Yeah, I was worried
through.
About those Umbros.
And I go out and I go, Mom, I need new shorts.
Right.
And she's like, at these Disney prices?
No.
No. I untuck my Hard Rock London. I hadn't been to London. My mom had been to London. I hadn't been to London. No. I untucked that shirt to cover my shame.
Aww. Did it work?
No. I hated my period so much. I still hate my period. So it caused so much shame about my period that in sixth grade, the next year, I ran the half mile faster than any boys in my class.
Whoa.
So I was like, I didn't want to run. But then I heard from my somebody, it was like long distance runners don't get their period. And
right.
I'm like, light bulb moment.
I became a
great cross country runner
so
to avoid
get your
period. My period.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah.
I
would get my period once a year because I was running, 60 miles a week as a 12-year-old. Like, I was competing in all these competitions as a thing. I was eating like a crazy person, but I was exercising too much.
Right, because isn't the not having your period, isn't that about being very, very thin?
I was never very thin. I was just exercising a ton.
And that makes you not get your period?
Sometimes. It can mess up with your, especially.
Don't get their period. I mean, not that they're necessarily
It's
very,
a body, it's a, it's like a.
Your body shuts down.
No, I had a lot of muscle. So it wasn't that I was like, doctors weren't concerned because I was never underweight, but I had a lot of muscle compared to body fat for that age.
So that must, I don't know what the correlation is between not having your period and that, but obviously it's a thing because I know gymnasts
would have it like once a year then. Isn't
that
fucked
nice
up?
That's
for,
amazing.
For our daughters, if we could just put them straight on like IUDs so they never have to have a period until they want to have a baby.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have health effects like that are negative.
I hope. But, like, I would hope. Yeah,
I can't believe your mother. I understand Disney prices are insane.
Yes, yes.
But that's extenuating circumstances.
Oh, 100%.
First of all, you would be so uncomfortable.
I was so uncomfortable.
No, I don't even mean, like, okay, if the t-shirt went long enough and covered it, that's one thing, but aren't you still wet and bleed and blood all over you?
Yes.
Oh.
It was awful.
She should have bought you the fucking shorts.
Yes.
She has a Coach bag.
Yeah, I know, but that was a gift. That was a gift from my rich uncle. And she'd always carry it around proudly.
At Disney World.
Yeah.
Carrying her Coach bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Was
that at the beginning of the day, the end of the day? Did you have how
lunch?
Long?
It was lunch.
Oh,
it was
man.
Lunch.
So you had to walk around.
Because I'd pounded the Kung Pao and then,
I got to say, though, at least you didn't have a brother because that would have been humiliating.
I know. But my sister wasn't helping, though. She's like, it's no big deal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're not going to help me.
That sucks.
And I just remember being like the end of the era. Like, I probably will cry when I stop. Even I hate my period.
Yeah.
And when anything ends, even if it was like abusive and terrible, like I get really sad.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my 10-year-old birthday. I had a sleepover and I was like halfway through the sleepover, like light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Uh-huh.
I like was like, I'm going to cry. And I was like, I'm double digits now. I'm close to death.
Oh, my God.
I'm
going to
die. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that I just always...
Endings
are really hard for my sensitive soul.
The good news, though, about, like, periods ending is it's kind of like somebody had said you don't really ever know until later the last time you take your kids to the playground.
Oh, God, I'm going to cry. Christine.
But that's kind of how periods are because you have to have a full year, I guess, of no period before you're considered to be in actual menopause.
Oh.
And like perimenopause can be like years and years and years that you're in, right?
Yeah.
And like I'm still having a very regular period that's just kind of annoying, but like eventually I guess it starts where you have them, you'll go like 6 months and then you'll just suddenly have one that's like gushing everywhere.
Yeah.
And so then... You know, like a bloodbath, Garen. Just like
this guy watches horror movies on a daily basis.
Yeah,
but this is too
much. This is a horror movie that we experience on the regular.
Yeah,
if it's real, I cannot handle it.
Yeah, I know. And so you kind of don't really know when the last one is necessarily, because then you're like, well, maybe I'm done.
But so maybe you are saying I need to honor every time I bleed.
Just cry and more.
Just to be safe.
Just to be safe.
Let's howl at the moon naked. Let's do it.
As aging women, we aren't crying enough.
We're not crying enough. I got to go up to 8 times a day. I've only been doing this 7.
Exactly.
I went back for my sister's bachelorette party to Epcot. And at this
Wait. You're bearing the lead. So your sister is a Disney adult.
Yeah.
Is this the sister who was with you?
Yes, Jean.
Amazing. Your memories are maybe the worst memory you've ever had.
Yes, I had
Epcot,
to confront it. It had to be exposure.
You had to go
therapy.
You had to go back there to celebrate your sister's wedding.
Yes, and so I already at this point think it's pretty funny.
Yeah,
like it was tragic. Kind of it truly made me hate having my period.
Yeah,
but it's empirically funny. Just my mom's reaction to it. I said empirically, like. The listener has to find it funny. The arrogance. But
I mean, objectively, this is an
we do have some scientific studies backing
I sound
up.
Like Jerry Seinfeld. Jesus Christ, I'm awful. Okay, so, but my sister wanted to go to Disney World, so we went to multiple parks, but one of them was Epcot.
Okay,
and I went back to the Chinese Pavilion and I confronted my fears and I made a post, like a funny post, and I think it made nobody feel like FOMO.
No,
that's the opposite.
That's
completely, I think it was pretty universally.
And you put a tampon up your butt, right?
I did, but that I do that anyway, just for kind of funsies,
kicks.
Just to feel alive.
Yeah.
Just kicks.
Yeah.
Well, wow, that's an amazing. That's such a funny story, and that she would have it there. Did she get that? Like that had happened? Did she remember?
Oh yeah, they know. They know.
They know what they did.
They know what.
I
know
can't
what they did.
Wait. Yeah. Until the day that your daughter gets her period.
I can wait.
And you can tell her the story. Like, at some point, she's going to.
Yes.
Hopefully not for, like, 3 more years, let's just say, at least.
Well, I mean, given my genetics, probably in a year.
Yeah.
But
and also, girls just seem to get their periods now when they're, like, 4 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now they have, like, period panties and things that are less traumatic.
So much better. And they have these little kits.
They have period panties for kids?
Yes.
And you can get those kits that are, like,
like
fun, and they have all these different little things.
And you just put it in their backpack so that, like... If they're
if it happens at school, they just change and then they don't have to put anything else on. It just absorbs
it. It absorbs it for like 8 hours. So it's like it's just way. It's a little bulky, but it's like way better than a tampon.
Having to figure out how to use a like device.
And
that
pads
doesn't
are
make
still
sense.
Like they.
Oh, those mattresses.
Yeah, they are.
They used to be so. I mean, so thick.
So thick.
Just we got like, Alex a little. We were in an Asian grocery store, and they have hilarious like pads that have little kittens on the front,
and
they have like really funny translations on that are like for you to feel fresh for Earth. You know, like they just have these.
Great.
So she was like, "Can I get those and keep them in my backpack because they're also funny?" And she has not gotten her period yet, but she's just like has friends who have. So I was like, "Let's get those. Those are
that's
cute.
Actually that's good because then." She's going to associate it with something positive.
Yeah.
Not a tampon up the butt.
No.
Different.
No.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like, so you can like bleed on the kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cute.
Exactly. Also, and they're thin. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Hopefully it's not going to be like a mad rush of blood the first time she starts, no. But I would assume it yeah. would just be a little bit lighter. Who knows?
Your mother. Yeah. Does she recognize the error of her ways at this point?
She'll be like, ah, you're dramatic. Or like, ah, well, sorry. I thought you knew. Sorry. It's like that boomer, like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a real sorry.
My mom would be like, I don't know.
Yeah, same.
I was doing the best I could.
My mom
would, I don't know.
My mom would always just say, I'm sorry if that upset you.
Oh, it was, gosh.
She never apologized to me.
What is it with that generation and not apologizing?
I don't know, because we got in fights all the time. Like, I'm saying, like, my entire life until she died. And,
oh, so sorry.
No, okay. And it, I don't think she ever apologized. I'm sorry if that's how you felt, Danny. I'm sorry if that's how it. And I'm like, wow, she can't give it up. That's amazing. But yeah.
Wow. But yeah, no. My mom didn't apologize about yeah. that. But I mean, you know.
It is just,
in a way she was just distracted, and like she had two girls who were now using tampons, and she just didn't do the math.
Yeah. Right. She was like, she already has her period. She knows what to do with this.
Yeah. But the Disney prices thing, come on.
Yeah.
Mom.
We can't let that go.
Amazing. Although Disney clothes are stupid expensive, so.
Thank you so much for being here. This was fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Sorry you're still traumatized.
No, and sorry for traumatizing your audience.
No, it makes a great story.
They're
going to
love it. They love trauma, our audience.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They sign up for it.
Right. Okay, trauma porn, exactly. Ooh. But we'll be right back with What Did We Learn Today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Danielle,
mm-hmm.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
Mm-hmm.
Still chewing.
Mm-hmm.
Based on Karen Slaughter's best-selling books, the series follows Special Agent Will Trent of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. As a child, Trent was abandoned and forced to endure a harsh coming of age in Atlanta's overwhelmed foster care system. Now that he is in a position to make a difference, Trent is determined to use his unique point of view to make sure no one is abandoned like he was. Watch on ABC Hulu.
So it really was based on a book.
I guess
they gave it the Bosch treatment.
I guess. He's also hot, guys. A first edition of the Iliad is worth over $40,000. You put first edition in quotes?
Because, well, you were saying it was
an
oral
thing, like the first tradition.
Yes, it's not really a thing. Kangaroo Jack is a 2003 film about two friends from Brooklyn, Jerry O'Connell and Anthony Anderson, who are forced, those two would never be friends, who are forced to deliver mob money to Australia. Their misadventures begin when one of them places his red jacket on a kangaroo while attempting to snap a picture. When the kangaroo bounces off, they realize the mob money is in the jacket and are forced to give chase through the outback. I do not believe he plays basketball. Also, somebody came up with this idea for a movie and pitched it and got greenlit and it got made.
Makes me angry.
Me too. Kangaroos probably won't make anyone's list of most intelligent animals, but they're far from being stupid. Kangaroos are incredibly social and capable of juggling and maintaining multiple relationships simultaneously.
Oh.
Plus, they can balance on their tails, so they're probably really good at juggling.
Right.
With four.
Yeah.
They can probably do six balls.
Oh my God.
They use their wits to defeat predators and can even communicate with humans. What, with their fists?
Yeah, right.
Okay, here we go. In placental mammals, like people, a developing embryo is connected to its mother's blood supply by an umbilical cord and a placenta. Marsupials give live birth too, but they don't have these structures. A fetus-like marsupial embryo climbs from the birth canal into its mother's pouch. So wild.
Honestly, we watched some video of this in junior high.
Yeah.
I do remember.
That was your
it.
Sex education?
They
were like, watch this
probably,
marsupial film.
Right.
It's close enough.
It's close enough.
That's all we're going to show you.
you get the gist.
Yeah, you, you got it.
I'm going to get a pouch? What?
Okay. And if you do anything different than this, you will get AIDS. That's what it was like when we were kids. Did you have a lot of those sort of like AIDS scare stories when you were a teen that was like to be scared about AIDS?
I mean, I remember that everyone was scared about AIDS.
Yes.
And I remember thinking that, I'm such a fucking nerd. You're going to hate me.
No, I'm going to love
think it was,
this.
It was either George Michael's I Want Your Sex or the Salt and Pepper song.
Let's Talk About Sex.
Let's Talk About Sex. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, I think it was George Michael's song. I was like, this is really irresponsible. Everyone's getting AIDS.
Like, he should stop wanting her sex.
He should stop talking about sex.
Little did we know, yeah. He didn't even want her sex.
No, he wanted someone's sex, but not hers.
Did you know he wrote all his own songs?
Yes.
He's so brilliant.
Did you see the what is it called?
Biopic?
Documentary?
No.
It's really good.
Because I love him so much.
It's really good, and of course I cried, like, just couldn't.
I'm sure I would.
Oh, wait a second, Garen.
Uh-oh.
I watched All of Us Strangers.
Uh-oh.
We'll What's have to that? Talk off the air.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, I thought you watched it. No, oh, I thought you watched it.
It just came on
it.
Hulu, and I'm...
Yeah. Is that
I'm,
the two men?
Yes, it's oh, hot, Andrew, hot Priest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I thought... I'm sorry. It, no, beg it's, your forgiveness. I thought you'd already watched it.
It's my number one want to watch, but I'm also terrified to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the other one of the Lost Lives? No.
Past Lives.
Past Lives, where I'm like, I know I want to see it, but I also know I'm going to feel sad. Yeah. And I don't want to feel sad right now.
Yeah, I get it.
Animals with pouches include koalas, kangaroos, American opossums, sugar gliders, wallaby, echidna, and more.
Oh, echidnas are the ones that have five penises.
Isn't, come on, one isn't enough.
Nope.
Jeez, little selfish echidnas. Any changes in normal hormone levels can lead to menstrual dysfunction, especially, that's my band's name.
Menstrual dysfunction.
Yeah. We just shoot blood at the audience while we scream.
Love it.
I have to actually like to do that. Especially in...
It's like a Gallagher show. Everyone in the front row has to have a...
Get sprayed with blood.
Poncho on.
And I just get to scream and somehow play a guitar. This can be caused by overtraining, stress, dieting, and weight loss.
Yeah.
Guys, we learned so much today.
I never had that problem in ballet, though.
That you didn't get a period?
Right. I mean...
You're like, starving for nothing!
But you know what? Now that I think of it, gymnasts are working like hours a day. I had class every day, but it was like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to do it, I guess.
I wish you should have worked harder, I guess.
I guess.
To not have your period.
No, I'm not saying... Yeah, it's just... It's just a strange phenomenon that those... And is that... Maybe that's why they have like squeaky... I think it's also that they don't start their period, right?
It's delayed because it's delayed, they're so little when they start.
So is that... Oh, that's why they don't grow, right? Isn't it something like that?
I think so. I think it's because their growth.
You stop growing after you get... Sometime after you get your period. Anyway, I don't know. Gymnasts are tiny.
The end.
The end.
Can I read a review? Can I read a review that one of our listeners sent in?
Yes.
I'm going to read a review that just came in on February 15th from Alexander Hamilton Was Right.
Oh.
5 stars. Lovely.
Aww.
Usually funny and entertaining, but that episode with John Hamm in grief showed its true perfection. What a powerful episode. Great job all around.
Oh, how sweet.
Thank you, Alexander Hamilton Was Right, which I'm sure is their name.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you name your child that?
What? I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I mean, if your last name is already Was Right, then you might as well add something clever to it.
You have no other choice.
Right.
At the risk of being dumb.
Yeah.
About what? Was he right?
Probably about...
I'm trying to think back
of the musical.
Is it the Federalist Papers?
Yeah, the Federalist Papers. He didn't want a kingdom. He wanted it to be...
I'm trying to go through all the songs in my head right now.
I think he wanted to end...
Where the rumor happened. He was right about where the rumor happened.
I think he wanted... Did he want an end to slavery? I think he wanted an end to slavery.
Okay, I don't remember that even coming up in the musical, but it probably did.
Well, he does make reference to... Thomas Jefferson, that the southern states, we know where your in the debates, the Jefferson Hamilton debates, there's like two of them, and he says something like, "We know where you get your labor."
Well, and so, he was Latino, so he's probably against slavery.
He was from an island.
Yeah, right?
What island was it? But he wasn't.
Island. He wasn't island. He was probably from the people who took the island.
Yeah, right, you know? Right.
He wasn't probably native.
Yeah. He was Latino. And Jefferson was black, so it's really weird, that he had slaves.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
So fucked up.
Charlestown Nevis in the West Indies.
West Indies. So it must have been somewhere that...
Because he wasn't West Indian.
Conquered.
Yeah, he was one of the white people who conquered.
I'm sure.
I mean, he might not have his ancestors. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he went in and conquered it.
No, I think he was a kid. He's got a wooden sword.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He took it.
That's all he had.
Even a white kid could just, if you were like a kid even, you could just go in and take an island.
Yeah. Maybe he was, yeah, there's this, I don't know. Anyway.
We're all going to, all over the weekend, we're all going to read the Alexander Hamilton biography.
Yes.
It's only like 1,200 pages,
I
know, right?
I started reading it.
And then I'm going to write a musical about it.
Oh, really? That seems like a weird take. You're from the point of view of Burr? You're going to take his side?
I'm just going to do one, but a little better.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A smidge better.
All right. Less rapping.
A little less rapping. Yeah. Okay. Mine's going to be an opera.
Oh, all right.
I've never done opera before. I don't know anything about it. Let's try my hand.
All right.
You guys come in with your own genres, and we'll compare.
We're all going to write Alexander Hamilton musicals?
I'm inspired by J-Lo.
Oh, this is Alexander Hamilton now?
I thought you said it was going to be good.
I don't know if she ever said it. Claimed it was good. Oh, yeah, she said it was going to be better than Hamilton.
I did. SNL now.
You're going to have to what?
Apologize on SNL.
Who's apologizing on SNL?
Oh, because, yeah. Because,
I get it.
I get it.
All
okay. right. Enough of this.
Oh, wait.
We're silly. What?
One thing, in just in reference to that they were talking about on this podcast was about how it's funny that Ayo had to go, Ayo or Ado?
Ayo.
Ayo had to go, like, tearfully apologize. Yeah. Is that they talked about how when J-Lo was sort of at the height of her, this is maybe before her pop career, but she still had an acting career. It's like post Fly Girl, but she's in like Anaconda, and she's in a couple movies have come out, right? But she hasn't launched any on the block yet, or on the Six or whatever. She did this huge interview, maybe for Vanity Fair, one of those big magazines, and she's just trashing people left and right. Like, she's trashing Madonna, saying like she's a terrible actress, and she's like, you know, well, what do you
really?
Because somebody said something like about like, you know, well, Madonna is also a pop star, huge pop star, and you know, she's doing some movies because it's at the time maybe when Madonna's doing some acting, end quotes. And she's like, yeah, but the difference is I can act and I'm an actress. Like, she's just trashing.
I think I do vaguely remember
she
this.
Just goes off trashing people left and right, I guess, which is kind of funny.
That is considering funny. Is that where the Mariah Carey thing comes from?
Oh yeah, because they have a big feud.
I
don't know her. That's right, that's about J-Lo, right?
I think it's about J-Lo.
Yeah, that's really funny.
I don't know her.
Yeah, they also said that they did mention that if Mariah Carey did something like this, it would be enjoyable because Mariah Carey has a sense of humor about herself.
She does?
That's what they
said. I've seen no evidence.
I was going to say, what?
They said she could be doing something like kind of campy because she can be campy. But I
okay.
was like, I don't know.
I don't know enough about Mariah Carey, but I get the opposite feeling. That seems not to track at all to me.
I don't know.
She seems to take herself incredibly seriously. She like, you know, has every dressing room filled with 1 million roses. And I don't say that at all.
And maybe these are people who, because they've worked on the inside, essentially, perhaps with these people, have had insider like experiences to know like that the idea is that like J-Lo is like gritting her teeth to the point of like not having like so seriously takes herself.
Yeah.
Anyway. This is neither here nor there.
All right.
Sharing some little tidbits of things I love
it.
Along the way.
I love it.
So until next time, remain calm.